Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, October 25th, 2017 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Eva Ater-Taylor, who's the executive secretary at the controls for the hearing today. Some general information about the variance process. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the 5 findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any public testimony in opposition to the project sponsor will be given a 3-minute rebuttal after those items. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may either close the public hearing, take the matter under advisement, or may indicate a potential decision today, or may continue the item to a later date. Items on the consent calendar, then we do have three today, there are matters that are considered routine by the zoning administrator. If you would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward. Otherwise, these items will be granted. There's general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda today. And the criteria for justifying a variance are outlined in Planning Code Section 305C and states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And lastly, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months for a decision to be issued following this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of that decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet on the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. This is very important because it is the decision letter which has with it the ability to appeal the decision to the Board of Appeals, and the decision can be appealed within 10 days of the issuance of the decision to the Board of Appeals. Other items, private conversations are disruptive to the hearing process. While we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss, we ask that that be done outside of the hearing room to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, December 6, 2017, and audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. We do have first housekeeping items, and that is continuance. We have an agendized continuance of item number 1. However, we've also received comments from our staff regarding item number 7 for 253 Chattanooga Street, that we have received revised plans, believe it even as of yesterday, and staff has not completed review of the revised plans, and so we are going to move that item as well as item number 1 to December 6th. Is there any public comment? And we can read both items into the record, I guess, real briefly. It's item number 1 for 1123 Girard Street and item number 7 for 253 Chattanooga Street. Is there any public comment on the proposed continuance of these two items to December 6th? Seeing none, continuing items number 1 and 7 to December 6th. Variance agenda, and then we can move to consent calendar items.
Okay, we have 3 items in our consent calendar. Item number 2, case number 2017-006982 VAR, 2611 Divisadero Street, rear yard variance sought. Item number 3, case number 2017-006155 VAR, 532 Cole Street, exposure variance sought. And the last item for consent calendar, item number 4, case number 2015-006684 VAR, 477 Elizabeth Street, rear yard variance sought.
And I would also like to add one more item to the consent calendar, and that's item number 5. It's the first item on our regular calendar. It was heard at the last hearing. The parties had concerns, our neighbors had concerns about the project. The project sponsor and the neighbors have worked on a compromise solution, which was presented to us yesterday evening. We're reviewing the plans based upon those revised plans that were submitted yesterday. It was my understanding that the project sponsor and the neighbors may not be attending this hearing because of that compromise solution. So is there any public comment on, we have item number 2 for 2611 Divisadero. You have public comment on that one? Or if we do, then we'll take it off of consent.
Okay, great. It's very short.
Are you representing the neighbor or?
I just have been asked by the neighbor who we're in agreement with to put something on the record. That's it.
Okay, well, let's do that at the end. We'll see if how the other items. We'll take this off of consent so we can effectuate that. So item number 2, we will take off of consent for 2611 Divisadero Street. Item number 3 for 532 Cole Street. Item number 4 for 477 Elizabeth Street. And we have just added item number 5, 2828 Octavia Street to the consent calendar. Are there any comments on either 532 Cole Street, 477 Elizabeth, or 2828 Octavia? If there's no public comment on any of those three items, be granting the variances, noting that on the last item on 2828 Octavia, it's based upon revised plans that were submitted yesterday evening. And we will take item number 2 for 2611 off the Divisadero Street off the consent calendar. And so if the project sponsor can give their presentation. Okay, so you're the project sponsor, but you're going to. Thank you.
So, okay. All right, this is a little unusual. My name is Lewis Butler. I'm the project sponsor. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. We've been in discussions with Adam Sachs, who's the attorney representing the neighbor at 2615 Divisadero Street. Very friendly discussion, just clarified a few things. We went back and forth via email, and I told him that I would read his latest email to me and put it on the record here, just so we all have the benefit of that. Lewis, thank you. Based on my client's understanding that your client will not use the basement as a dwelling or seek to rent it out, and that your client hopes at some future date to make the basement a garage, we will not oppose the variance request. Of course, if your client later seeks to rent or reconfigure the basement as a living space, my client would likely oppose that use or reconfiguration. It's my understanding that the planning code would not allow rental down there anyway. Regardless, it doesn't matter to us.
Thank
we
you.
Agree.
Okay.
And I just want to also make it clear that what he's saying here is he would support the future addition of a garage and the use of the basement as a garage, which we do not intend to do that. But he does mention at his own volition that he would support that in the future.
Thank you for that. Is there any public comment on item number 2, 2611 Divisadero Street? Any other public comment? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. I'm inclined to grant the requested variance. I would note that property is within an RH1D zoning district, which generally only allows one dwelling unit. There is a process now through state and local law to add accessory dwelling units. However, this project does not propose any accessory dwelling units. It maintains the building as a single family dwelling. Any future changes would require a building permit to potentially add any additional dwelling units to the property. But again, that is not part of this project. We can move on to
item number 6, case number 2017-000276VAR, 3526 Fulton Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And we are here to present our little tiny project. Essentially, in a nutshell, Jerry, my client, the owner of the building, came to me to put in a new rear deck. The purpose of this deck is to enable her backyard to get more accessible from her living space and to really help facilitate the proper use and enjoyment that her neighbors currently have with their backyard. So we are seeking to build a deck that's no bigger than the adjacent decks on the rear properties. And the only variance we seek is the fact that our building currently is set back on the lot, and we don't meet the 45% rear yard setback because the zoning is RH2 and requires a 45% rear yard. So given the circumstances here of mainly the position of the building and the zoning of the building, and given the fact that both adjacent properties have identical decks to what we're currently proposing, In order for my client to really enjoy the use of our outdoor space, we seek this variance. And I'll turn it over to my client if she's got a few words to say as well.
I think of the six houses that are built the same way on that block, four of them have rear decks.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item number six for 3526 Fulton Street? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the building is would otherwise be able to avail itself of a code-compliant alternative through Planning Code Section 136. However, given the building extends just a few feet into the required rear yard based upon averaging of adjacent properties, it is not eligible without demolishing the rear portion of the building. And this is, again, as noted by the applicant, very consistent with that of the adjacent properties and other properties on the block. So we can move on to the next item.
Next item would be number eight, because item number seven has been continued to December 6th variance hearing. Item number eight, case number 2017-000174 VAR, 122 Arch Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor?
Thank you.
Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes. Project sponsor for 122 Arch Street.
So I understand that the case was moving forward today. We had received communication from the project sponsor, so we can hold this item over if they
until
got
later.
Stuck in traffic.
Can you testify, please?
We will hold the item over, and we can have everyone testify when the project sponsor is in the room. Otherwise, it's not quite fair for there to be testimony without the project sponsor. They will not be able to hear your comments or be able to react to them. So we will hold this item over, and we will move on to the next item, and we will go back
to it later on. Okay. Moving to item number nine, case number 2017-001983 VAR, 717 to 719 Guerrero Street, rear yard variance sought.
You have five. Approach, speak for 30 seconds. On number eight.
Very briefly. No, just up to the microphone, yeah.
We were under the impression, and there are quite four or five speakers here, we were under the impression that they were going to be here and that on 122 Arch.
I was too.
Could I do one thing? Could I read into the record that what has occurred at a timeline, and I won't speak to the thing itself?
If it will shed some light on why they're not here.
Yeah, well, it may. Okay, as you know, we had that hearing in July, and we're back supposedly to hear today, and I don't know whether it's a ploy on their part, but they're not here. I was told they were going to be here. So on August 28th, I called Bill Guan, who's the architect, and he stated, I'm waiting for the owner to make a decision on what to do. I will call her today. The next day, I called, and each time I called, the next day, the 29th, I set up a meeting. He never responded. On the 31st, I talked to him. He says he's been unable to contact the owner. He will get back to me when he has spoken to her to set up a meeting. On September 19th, we finally set up a meeting. We met on the 23rd, and I won't go into because that's testimony on that, but we finally met. We made a proposal. Never heard back from him. I said, what's going to happen? 3 weeks later, I called, and he said, basically, we have no intention of a compromise, and we're going to request the variance. And I was told they were going to be here today, and we have people that have taken time off of work to come.
I understand. Just very briefly, what was your proposal that you...
Yeah, our proposal was... And theirs was a three-story. We're proposing no variance at this time until they reduce it to two stories and no more than three bedrooms and three baths. And the reason is, and they stated at the meet, well, I shouldn't really get into that, but there was some comments made. They have the property behind, which is totally illegal.
But so just to be clear, so your proposal was to have, you would support a variance, but only if it was a two-story building.
Two-story building with no more than three bedrooms, three baths.
Okay.
But until that is agreed to, no variance.
Okay. No, that's very good. So I, you know, thank you for coming on time. I don't know why the project sponsor is here. They should be here. They are aware our hearing start at 9:30.
Right.
usually
pretty prompt. So let me ask you, when will this be carried over to?
Oh, I, on this agenda. I mean, I intend to have a hearing from it, whether they're here or not, but I do want to give them a little bit more time to, if they are stuck in traffic or having problems parking, that they can.
Should we wait? Maybe we'll wait a little bit?
Yes, and you know, we move through the agenda items
That's
pretty
fine.
Quickly. There's not a lot of people here, so.
Sure.
I don't think we'll be too much longer, but I do want to, you did come here. I do want to give you, you will have the opportunity to speak on public comment, whether or not the sponsor is here. I just want to give them, I'm holding it over to give them a little bit more time.
That's perfectly fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So we can move on to that next item. Thank you.
That'll be item number nine. Case number 2017-001983 VAR, 717-719 Guerrero Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Troy Kashanipour. I'm the project architect. We're applying for a rear yard variance. We have an existing two-unit building, 717-719 Guerrero Street. At the rear of the property currently, there's an existing stair. As you can see from the photos, it's in very bad repair. It's steep, it does not meet code, and it's very unsafe. So our starting point with the variance is that stair needs to be replaced. The existing owners of the building have a small rear yard, but it's dark. It's kind of very much in shadow, and they'd like to create some private outdoor space for themselves. So we're proposing, along with the stair replacement, to create two small decks, about 100, a little more than 100 square feet each, one at each level of the building. This will allow them to kind of take advantage of outdoor open space without going fully down to the rear yard, which, as I mentioned, is a little bit in shadow by taller buildings surrounding the property. This particular block of Guerrero is developed with fairly deep buildings, many of which have existing encroachments into the rear yard. You can see from the photo here, the adjacent building extends very further back, and there's an existing stair with large landings. That's the building immediately to the south. I'm sorry, immediately to the north of them. Our proposal, I think, is modest. We place the firewall adjacent to the blank wall of the adjacent property here, so that there's no, you know, obstruction of windows or light wells on adjacent buildings. And we set our deck and stair back 5 feet from the property line to avoid any kind of firewall. The same is true of the opposite side. On the south side, we are setting back the deck. We've met with neighbors. Neighbors seem to be on board. To my knowledge, there's no opposition. And we're available for questions if you have them. The owners are here as well if you have questions for them as well.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item number 9 for 717-719 Guerrero Street? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that does provide access to the rear yard as well as additional usable open space that will be more readily accessible from the dwelling units at those levels. It is designed in a sensitive manner, as you noted, by kind of ganging up against the existing blind wall of the adjacent building and having the stairs that do encroach further being set back so no firewall is required. So with that, again, public hearing is closed and inclined to grant, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2017-007368 VAR, 3229 Mission Street, rear yard and exposure, variances sought. Project sponsor for this project, please approach the mic. 3229 Mission Street. Project sponsor?
Right here.
Okay. There, so please.
You have 5 minutes, sir. Please approach the mic.
Hello. Harlan Hoffman.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm a project sponsor. Let me just see. I'm expecting you to be here in this so quickly. Sorry about that.
We're very efficient.
Yes, boy, very efficient. Yeah. I think what I'm trying to talk about is addressing the finding one and finding two, especially because I was advised that those are typically the more difficult ones to show cause. The property is exceptional and extraordinary. I did a lot of work to the building over a period of about 8 years, and the culmination of that was with the variance that I received in 2004. But I didn't include the roof covering in that variance because I didn't realize that it was so necessary at the time. So what I was trying to do was in relocating the stairs, which before it was a backyard that wasn't very well utilized, and the stairs were in a very bad place in the property. Was that I was trying to make a stair be a roof at the same time when I reconfigured the back of the building. And that was not the right approach because I learned later on, 10 years later or so, that stairs don't make a very good roof. So basically what happened was we have a great stair system that goes up to the third level, the new third level, and we don't have a very good roof. And it's difficult to be in a position where you have to make a choice where do we have a good roof for the downstairs or for the building, or do we have a stair? And there's a conflict there. And that's basically why I'm here, because I want to provide a new roof system over the stair. That's really the only way I can do that, to protect that stair properly. And at the same time, maintain the stairs going to the third floor.
Okay.
That's the extraordinary part of it. That's the hardship, and that's the extraordinary part. The extraordinary part is it's an extraordinary building, and I did a massive amount of work to the building, and this is something that just slipped through the cracks in terms of understanding the logistic of just how vital it was to do that. What else can I say in my 5 minutes or 2 minutes left? It would be a hardship as well for the condominiums that are in the building, none of which have been sold, but I was allowed to convert to condominium because of the amount of work that I did and the additions to the building. So automatically it was condoed. I haven't sold any condominiums, but it is an extraordinary circumstance, and it also is a hardship if I cannot build this roof system. And I guess the other thing that I could say regard to the other findings are that there's been a number of letters of support, and I don't think there's anyone opposed. And I did everything I could possibly do to keep that stairway, which is located next to a massive wall in the back, so that it's in the shadow of that massive wall that's to the rear, or to the side of the property on the south. The only other thing I wanted to mention too is that I may want to put one more post along the guardrail, because right now I can tell that when it rains, that there isn't any water that's getting into the lower part of the stair. What's happening is I can see there's water, obviously, because it's falling directly on the stairs, and that's wet. The other part's dry, so I know where the water's coming from. I know it's coming from the upper stair. It's pretty obvious. I've been tracking it for the last couple of years, and I've had a number of experts come over and look at it. And so I want to put one more post in the event if I ever need to put any glazing in between. Right now it's an open system and there's an overhang, and I've done this before in situations that are very difficult to waterproof, and it's worked really well. And it's looked really good too. But in case I ever needed to add any glazing or something like that, I want to put one more post so there's only 3 feet in between as opposed to 6 feet, and make it simpler to do that. What else can I say? It's pretty well protected from wind, from the prevailing wind on three sides. That's why I think the open system will work.
Okay, thank you. So I had thought that the purpose of covering these stairs was to give weather protection from people on the third floor coming down to that lower level. But you're saying it's more actually about water leaking into the building at the lower level? So you have a waterproofing problem on the existing stairs?
That's more of the reason. I mean, of course, it'll help people coming up and down from the third floor, definitely. But the reason is that I can't find any other way to waterproof properly. You know, it's just been a nagging problem for the last 2 or 3 years, and I've tried all kinds of caulkings and coatings and sealants, and I've had experts there, and I've had people go downstairs into, I don't know if Eden is here yet. Yes, she is. Eden's space to look and see where it's leaking, and, you know.
So it's a three-story building. There are two units on the second floor, one that only faces the rear yard, one that faces Mission Street, and then there's the unit on the third story. The stairs connect that courtyard in the back to the third story, and the water is leaking into the ground floor commercial space?
Correct. Well, it's leaking through from, you can see it tracking on the wall below the stair in some places, and you could also see where it gets under the siding, and then it lands on the stairway just above the commercial space as well.
Okay. And has DBI, building department, been out to the site to kind of review this or issue any notices of violation about the water leakage, about getting
no.
it fixed?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll see. There sounds like there's some public comment from, I guess, one of the tenants, so we'll go
sure.
to public comment now. For item number 103229 Mission Street.
Sure. I was just going to close and just say I think that the stair that's designed, or the roof covering that is designed there, that I designed, it fits the building, it fits the neighborhood, it fits the whole configuration.
Okay.
And I think it would have been approved in the previous variance had I included it.
So the stair that was added recently, that was your design from a couple years ago.
10 years ago.
And then in the last couple of years, that's been leaking.
Yeah, there was a really bad stair that was there before. It was wood, it was a fire hazard, it was overlooking the other properties, it was shadowing them, and it was on the north side.
Okay.
And I replaced that with the previous variants. And I think had I included my roof design in the previous variance, it would have been granted along for the same reasons.
I understand that. So let's see if the public comment on this item number 10 for 3229 Mission Street.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Hi, thank you for being here today. My name is Eden Stein. I am the owner of Secession Art and Design at 3235 Mission, where it is leaking into the back of my store. I'm also the president of the Mission Bernal Merchant Association. So for the past year, I've been collecting almost 2-3 inches of water during heavy rainstorms in the back of the store. I'm a gallery. I represent over 60 independent artists. And when the water seeps into the store, it changes the temperature in my store, and a lot more humidity and threat of ruining product, and keeping it a nice place for my customers. The location where it's leaking is also right next to our dressing room, and so we've had issues. We've pulled out all the drywall from the mold and totally cleaned that whole issue. My landlord has come out like once a week or more than once a week to try to solve this problem for a long time. And he's sealed the stairs, he's done everything he could think possible, and this is kind of the last thing to solve everything.
Okay, thank you. So how long have you been a tenant in the space?
So I've owned my business for 10 years, and I've been a tenant in the space for 3.
Okay.
And I used to be a restaurant. I turned it a restaurant to retail and supporting the local arts community.
Thank you. When did the leaking start?
This past like heavy rainstorm was when it really started to come in.
So you didn't notice anything prior to this last rain season?
Not that I knew of.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then since that time, you say there have been several attempts by the property owner to address that. Okay.
Yeah, he's texted or called to make sure that he's doing everything he can do.
Okay.
to help with this issue.
All right, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there any other? Oh, sorry. Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
I just want to say I've had a number of waterproofing experts come to look at the property as well.
Okay.
On many occasions, and yeah.
All right. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on item number 10 for 3229 Mission Street? Seeing none, I close the public hearing. I kind of had concerns about the necessity of this. I kind of assumed that it was for weather protection for people walking down to the courtyard, and that didn't quite make much sense to me to have weather protection to walk somewhere that's just outside. But I appreciate the additional comments, and I understand. Yes, we'll call that item next. Yeah, thank you. So I will take the matter under advisement at this point, and if I didn't see it in the docket, but if you could provide a summary of the steps that have been taken thus far to address the leakage, I would like to have that for the record.
There was a letter from one of the contractors that did work on the building, and I think that's addressed in that letter.
Okay, great.
It was from Four Star Painting.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So we'll take the matter under advisement.
But I don't mind adding to that if you wish.
I think that would be good, because I think I learned more from your presentation today to better understand more of the issues. And so if you could kind of add any other details that you think would be helpful, would be appreciated. Actually, the goal is that we want to be sure that this will actually address the problem, that it won't just be kind of another wasted effort. So any other information that you have to support that this will be the cure to address the leaking would be great.
Yeah, I've used this technique before, and it's worked really well, like I had mentioned.
Okay.
So I think I've been thinking about this for a long time.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. It's a kind of a great length to go through, so I'm sure you would have exhausted all the other options first. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And so we can go back to item number 8.
Yeah, so okay. The project sponsor is now here for item 8.
Thank you again.
Thank you, and thank you for the patience for everyone who's...
Okay, item number 8, case number 2017-000174 VAR, 122 Arch Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for giving another chance to speak in front of you. the purpose of this meeting, the variance is to ask to set back the reduction from 15 feet to 9'6". The main reason is because the lot configuration itself is pretty unique. Let me show you, see here. And as you see it here, it's right at the corner. And it's only overall depth of the parcel is only 58 feet deep. And with the design we have right here, basically with the side plan we have is, we had a 10 feet setback at the front. 10 feet, we lost 10 feet. We are basically aligned a new building with the adjacent building aligned with it. So we lost 10 feet at the front. And if we do another 15 at the back, we only got 33 feet left to build. If we do a 15 feet setback, we only had 30 feet to build. So the building is really long and level, and it's not something what the owner wanted. It's hard to build and develop, and it lower down the value of the property. And the separation with the 9'6" setback between the building and the back, we still had about 22 feet left between the two buildings, the existing building at the back and the proposed building. So I believe there's enough open space between the buildings. And another thing I want to address is even with this proposed, you know, the building location, it brings very little impact to the neighbor. It brings little, I mean, for lighting, for the mass, it fits well with the neighborhood. I don't think we had bring a lot of impact to the neighborhood setting at all. So I would really consider considering giving us this variance and give us a chance. Thank you. You want to add anything at this point? What? Good.
Is that all you had?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would have the neighbor to speak, and I will come back and make up whatever they have. But my point is, this variance is asking for the setback, the reduced setback for the parcel, so the owner can, we can have a nice buildings instead level and it's hard to develop. Thank you.
Thank you. So a couple questions, and while we were waiting for you, we did hear briefly from one of the neighbors who just gave kind of a chronology of events since the last hearing. They indicated that they put out an alternative proposal to where they could, and I don't want to mischaracterize it, but potentially support the project if the third story was removed and if it was limited to three beds and three baths. Do you have a response? Or we did continue this item for one reason, so you could work with neighbors. So could you tell me what the results were of that work with neighbors, because the project seems to be the same one that we saw last time?
Yes, we did meet with the neighbor, but it didn't come up. I mean, the result doesn't come up really well, and they insist us to take out the third floor, and I don't know why the reason. And I mean, the third floor has very little impact to the neighbor, and it sets back from the front almost 10 feet. And we did a shadow study, and it has little impact to the adjacent gardens or the adjacent buildings around the neighborhood. And it also, it sets well, because the building is a corner lot, it sets really well when you come up from R Street.
So it's kind of it is a corner, but a unique in that there, adjacent to a flag lot, so it's not actually the last lot. And then there is the gardens that are kind of at the corner. Yeah. But what's the size of the building now? It's a single family dwelling, and I understand the constraints on the lot size, the shallow depth.
The size of the lot.
How many square feet? Square feet for the building, the single family building.
It's about 3,500, including the garage.
Okay. Yeah. And so some context, I mean, from the photos I saw, it's predominantly two stories, significantly smaller homes, probably half the size or less. Are there any kind of contextual examples here of a third story or larger homes on this block face that you're aware of? I didn't see any.
Yes, there's actually, there's a building facing the property. The subject property, maybe two buildings away, and it has a three-story buildings.
Okay, do you have the address of that? Because I had to look at the aerial photos, and I didn't. It looked like a pretty. You don't get much more consistent in terms of block faces.
Let me see if I have any pictures.
There'll be time. You could look for photos too, but. So the property owner who owns this also owns the lot at the back. And how long have they owned both of these lots?
They probably have it like less than 2 years.
Less than 2 years. Okay. And all right. And then what's the kind of the goal of the project? Will it be for owner occupancy? Will it be sold? What do you know what the goal of your client is?
My goal is my client is to put in a single family house, and their intent is to make a very livable house somewhere that increased the property value, also the neighbor's house value. The lot has been vacant for so many years, and nobody developed it because somehow there's objection from the neighbor. But I think the property should develop, consider the housing shortage in the cities. You know, it has been vacant so many years.
And so I think, as I understood it, the neighbor's alternative would still allow for a single family home, just one that is about the same size as the other homes, or probably still even larger. But so what was the response again of why it didn't work to kind of, I just don't see any compromise on your part?
Yes,
and I'm
wondering during the meeting, the neighbor did say, hey, there's too many bedroom or whatever. But we are willing to change the layout. We can cut down the number of bedroom on the design. When we come to the building phase, we can make that happen. We can cut down maybe 3 bedrooms. That's no problem. But we want to keep the third floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
the third floor is set back from 10 feet from what is the building face. So if you walk on the sidewalk, you're probably not going to see it.
No, I understand. It's set back from the front property line, and then the third story is set back.
And we'd be willing to set back more if we need to.
So I didn't quite understand. So what was the goal of your client? Was it they were going to rent the house or sell the house or live in the house? Do they have a plan?
At this point, it's just too early to make a decision on that. But we do intend to make that a very beautiful house, set on the corner, and make the neighborhood a lot improvement, and increase the property, the overall neighborhood, and use that vacant lot for the neighbor, for the city. That's our intent.
And there had been a previous permit for a single family home on this lot that was filed, I think, in 2013 or so. Was that done by your client? Were you involved, or was that a previous application?
That's absolutely had nothing to do with my client.
Okay.
They got a lot of resistance. Since even they do a two-story building, they got a lot of resistance. They eventually give up the projects.
Who was that?
The previous owner.
The previous owner. Okay. Okay, yes. Thank you. So we'll move to public comment now, and then you'll have a rebuttal after public comment as well. We're going to item number 8 for 122 Arch Street. Any public comment?
Thank you.
Please step forward. Thank you. Item number 7 was continued to December 6th because we received revised plans yesterday from the project sponsor.
Ma'am, please approach the mic. You have 3 minutes.
That's 253 Chattanooga.
Correct, 253 Chattanooga is continued to next month. Thank you.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez. Suha Sandoval here on behalf of District 11 Supervisor Asha Safai. Supervisor Safai is the supervisor for where this parcel sits. And like the previous time that we were all here, I am here again to state the supervisor's opposition to the proposed project. This has also been relayed to the project sponsor. He's been very recalcitrant and unwilling to compromise, as you noted. So as to what is in file and what still remains in file versus what's being said right now of some willingness to maybe change the plans, from what is on the file still and what stands, we oppose it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm Christina Wu, and I live in 126.
Okay, thank you.
I live in 126 Archie, right next to where they're going to build the new building at. And I think they were planning to build a building against to wall to wall. There were no space in between 126 and 122 R Street. And recently, we just repaired a wall right on 126 R Street, right on the side wall. We spent $15,000 for the siding, cement siding over there. And I request when they do build a building right next to our building, I request at least have 3 feet not attached home, but like detached home, you know, to our building. If they, and then if they build a building right next to ours, attached to our building, it will lose, my house will lose the value of it. So another question is, if they're going to build a three-story home right in the neighborhood, and in our block, majority of the house is two-story only. And I request they only allow them to build a two-story home is ideally to match the rest of the house in the one block. And I have seen new construction before in Haywood. I have been shopping. Whatever they build a three-story home in the whole block, and then at the end of the corner lot, they usually build a two-story home, not blocking the rest of the sunlight and the other view for the rest of the building. I think it's ideally for them to build a two-story home instead of a three-story home. If they build a three-story home and they have an existing building, a old building in the back already, they are renting that building to a two-family home living over there. And they convert the garage in that old building into another unit. They don't have a garage in the old building. So there were two families live in the back of the, in that lot already. I think if they build a two-story home, it's going to be a rental property. It's not going to be a owner-occupied that building. And also, I request for to leave a 15 feet between the old building and the new building when they build. The reason why is for safety. If there are more people living in the building, safety for the people, safety for the neighborhood. And then if incident happen, and then firemen can come over right away to take care of that. If they don't leave enough room out there, and then it's very hard for them to take care of the problem when disaster happen.
Thank you. That's your time. So just one question. So on the north side of your property, aren't you built to the common property line? There's a kind of a pattern on this block of being built to the common property line, but you're asking for
3 feet.
3 feet. Okay.
Yes. Request for 3 feet.
Okay. And then there is on the plans, the architect has shown almost 8 feet separate, 18 feet, sorry, 18 feet separation between their building and that existing building at the back. So they are maintaining at least the 15 feet that you've requested between the buildings on this current proposal.
Between our building and the new building going to be the sidewalk.
Are you saying 15 feet setback
at
the front?
Our building is this way, and then their building is going to be right next to our house?
Yes. So I understand you would like it to be set back three feet.
3 feet between.
So I understand that request, but you also had a concern that the building that they're proposing here would be too close to the building at the back?
I think so, because the back of the house is an individual single family home.
Okay. And then you have a separate, you can
I'm
speak.
The owner. I'm the owner of the same house.
Okay, you can still speak as well, but I just wanted to make it clear that right now on the current proposal, it's almost 18 feet. So there is a separation between what they're proposing and the existing building. Just wanted to put that on the record, but we'll move on to next public comment, and you can speak now if you'd like.
She spoke about my concern is also about the space because of the new money people spent on the house. We don't want to lose the value of that part of it too.
I understand. Thank you, sir. And we'll continue on a public comment, and anyone else who'd like to speak on this item can step forward and do so.
You also get 3 minutes.
Hi. My name is Taylor Janelle. So I live across the street at 125 Arch. And basically, I've looked at the plans. I work in construction, so the multiple family rooms on the set of plans is a little bit odd, especially the size of them. You know, 34 feet by 16 feet is a really large room. So those problems haven't been addressed. I haven't seen a new set of plans come out with modified bedrooms and the multiple bathrooms all over the place. Also, like a few other people have said, the two-story homes in the neighborhood are pretty common. There's not very many three-story homes, only up on the Randolph Street, which is a commercial space area. And then they have some apartment buildings up there. The other thing, the rep made a comment about the home across the street that is directly next door to me. Which is a converted attic space-ish, but it was built in 1907. So that was probably done a long time ago before there was a planning commission here like this, or at least not, you know, is high-tech. So the other thing that, you know, I'm all for improving the neighborhood and building homes and making them look nice, but kind of on the same page as everybody else is. And the unit that's in the back there, I've seen multiple tenants living there. I talked to some of them. You know, they're friendly people, but it's kind of being used for what it wasn't really intended for. It was a two-bedroom, one bath. There was two people living there for about 5 years. I've lived over there for 7 years, and now it's just a bunch of students live there, up to probably five or six people. So the last meeting, I wasn't here, my wife was here, but they were supposed to communicate with the neighbors and have a meeting, and that has not happened at all. So we haven't had any communication. The other thing is, the public hearing posted at the front. I took a picture this morning. There's no updated dates for hearings, so I don't know that. You would think you would update that and try to let people come here and make comments, but so that's all I have.
Thank you. And the Planning Commission was created in 1917, so that would have been 10 years before even the Planning Commission existed.
Right? Yeah, but I mean, that's the only tall building on the block, and it's really just like an A-frame converted attic. So anyways.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. On September the 23rd, several neighbors met with the property owner at the site to discuss the variance request and what would be acceptable to the neighborhood and those who have plots at Sisterhood Gardens. Currently, we cannot support a variance and are opposed to a three-story structure. We suggested a compromise of no variance, two stories with no more than three bedrooms, three bathrooms, and one family room. Currently, the property owner has a house directly behind this lot that is a single family home that has been divided into three units, two upstairs and one in the garden space serving as a residence. There is no reason for us to not expect the same type of construction for the new property that they are going to be building. That being said, the large front yard on this property allows cars to park there. With this new planned residence, all parking will now be on the street, increasing parking up to 6 to 8 cars on Arch Street. The 15-foot setback casts shadow on the house in the back of the property. Shadow is an important aspect to quality of life. The owner confessed the new property would be shared with other tenants when the daughter lives there. And so they've already admitted that it's going to become some of an apartment house. The architect and owner, again, made no compromises. Thank you.
Thank you. And just so I can understand, again, the compromise that neighbors that you maybe have put forward, it would be for no third story, but would a two-story building with variance be supportable? That would basically match the existing building that's next
door.
With three and three.
Three. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Mark Christensen. I'm president of a neighborhood association, but I'm speaking strictly as an individual and a member of the Sisterhood Gardens community. So, we're definitely interested in a compromise, and I think that that's what should happen. The first floor, there's a 12 by 15 foot family room that easily could be converted because it has a bathroom. So that's interesting. Second floor, 16 by 34 and a half feet family room. That could easily be divided into two bedrooms because there's a bathroom off this large family room. Then they also, on the second floor, have a bedroom that's 14 by 13, another bedroom that's 14 by 13 with a bathroom. Third floor, 16 feet by 24 bedroom with large walk-in closet and a bathroom that is 10 feet by 12 feet behind the closet. And then there's another on the third floor, another 10 by 14 bedroom with a bathroom in the hallway. I'm going to tell you, knowing this property owner, because I knew the previous property owner when they wanted to build and we met with them, and he realized he couldn't do what he wanted to do, and he sold the property. She's had this property for about a year and a half to 2 years, and transformed the back property, as you've heard, into multi-units. Totally illegal. The niece came out at the meeting and admitted she wants to live there, but the only way that they can make a profit on this is to, and they basically said, subdivide it. They said that at the meeting. I'm not making that up. And I think Bill knows that. So what we would like is no variance at this time until such time as it's a two-story and it conforms with the entire block, no more than three bedrooms with a modest one-family, modest family room, not a family room that takes up 16 by 34 feet, and a maximum of three bedrooms. There's already, as I said, a home on the adjacent property, and the variance, if they were to reduce it and go with the three bedrooms, three baths, the variance can be, we would acquiesce on that, I believe. We'd have to see the plans and see what it, how it impacts the neighbors to the north. So having said that, and first of all, it's not a corner lot, as you pointed out. It's Sisterhood Gardens is on the corner. And basically, that's our position at this point. They have not compromised one inch. As a matter of fact, they didn't even want to meet a second time when we said, let's meet. So that's where we are. Okay? Thank you very much, and I appreciate your time and appreciate you hearing all of us. Thank you.
Any other public comment on item number 8 for 122 Arch Street? Seeing no other public comment, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thanks for the common neighbors. I heard the neighbors' concern, and they are making a lot of assumptions, judgments, and like how to judge people, how to live, and how big the garage can be, and how big the family room can be. I mean, those are not fair, you know. And people should live the way they want to live, you know. I mean, we are willing to change the floor layout if that's something they're really concerned. But I want to focus here that the meeting here, the variance here is for the rear setback reduction. We want, because due to the lot size and the unique configuration, so we want to have a 9'6" setback instead 15. And between the back of the building, the existing building, to the proposed building, there will be still a 23 feet setbacks. And my assistant wanted to add a little bit on regarding to the...
Yeah, it's not actually just...
Can you speak to the mic, please? Oh, yes. Thank you.
It's not actually just 18 feet setback, because this part of the building right here is just the stairs. On the exterior. So if you count the building parcel of the building, I mean the envelope of the building to the envelope of the building, then it's actually 22 feet between buildings.
Thank you.
Yeah, I believe the rest of the buildings on the block are built wall to wall attached. So that that's something I would like to bring up.
Thank you. What was the previous proposal that was withdrawn? Was that a similar design? Do you know?
I don't recall, but I did a quick scan of the plan. It's like it has a side setback, and then it's a two-story building. I don't recall it this month since I don't have the plan in front of me.
No, that's okay. So I get the impression it's similar in scale. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for those comments. Certainly the lot is substandard given the depth, not typical, and is a unique situation here with the flag lot. I think that, to some extent, that does justify a variance. Also, the front setback reduces the buildable area. And often when we do have even kind of consistent two-story buildings, we will, as a matter of design, allow a third story if it's significantly set back, which I think is why we're here today after the project has been reviewed by a residential design team. I think it is a bit more challenging to support a variance for the project as it's currently proposed. I was kind of more recently thinking that the third story should be removed. And the variance could be granted for the floors 1 and 2. So I think the project sponsor, you really have two paths moving forward. I would grant the variance, but condition it that the third story be removed from the project and that you have the two-story building, which I think will still provide you 2,000 square feet or more of developable space there, and I think enough space for family rooms and living rooms. I am a bit more hesitant to restrict the number of bedrooms. It's not something that we typically do, but I will take that under advisement. That would be a bit precedential, in my opinion. A question. Yeah, sure.
This is a question.
At some point, because we are well aware of what happened with the place in the back, let's say that this goes through and it's built, and they move in more than one family, what do we have at that point? In other words, we want to protect the neighborhood and make sure this is a single family home.
So the planning code doesn't prohibit unrelated individuals from living in a building. It does not limit the number of those individuals. There are building code requirements that need to be met for life safety issues, mm-hmm. but otherwise you can have 5, 6 unrelated individuals living in a home. If there's more than 5, then there's a heightened criteria. They have to kind of operate and function more as a family. They have control over the composition of the group. I mean, the concern would be if someone was, you know, kind of
can't be separate doorways with separate locks and separate.
There's nothing that prohibits locks on doors, and the planning code doesn't prohibit someone from having
Separate entrances type thing. You know what I'm referring
even
to.
Even separate entrances. Okay. It's more about the number of cooking facilities. So if people were adding kitchens and adding that into other spaces, then that would be a violation of the
right.
code.
Okay.
But you know, at this point, I give the project sponsor. Do you have a preference on proceeding with either a two-story building with a variance or with a three-story code-compliant building without any variances? Because those would be the options that are available. And I don't believe you've submitted a building permit yet, so whatever project that did move forward would still go out for neighborhood notification.
And then my other question is, as this moves forward, because this is just on the variance, as it moves forward and the plans are now drawn up on something else, we will have the opportunity to speak
certainly
regarding
yes.
that.
So there is whatever project does come about from this would be subject to our neighborhood notification requirements, the 30-day Section 311 notice to owners and occupants within 150 feet. Further, any permit that would be issued, including the variance decision, is appealable to the Board of Appeals.
Very good. I appreciate it. And thank you. We really appreciate your time on this.
No problem. So, project sponsor, do you have a?
I think what you offer both are really attractive, but I cannot make the decision here now because the owner is not here. I got to talk with her, see if whatever she accepts. But I do appreciate your offer. But one last suggestion can be,
I just throw it out a third option. So like, can we have a third floor, but the third floor will comply to the required setback?
That's a good question. I said no. I mean, in kind of in my opinion, giving the variance to go into the rear yard for the lower levels is additional developable space that you wouldn't otherwise get. So that I would say that it's be conditioned upon there's being no third story. So I will we will work on crafting a decision that would say, you know, basically you have two paths to proceed. Mm-hmm. One is either a code compliant version that doesn't need a variance, and you go through the neighborhood notification process. That could be a three story building, but you would have the required rear yard in that case, and neighbors would have the ability to file a DR on that. And
yes, they still had a lot of pending opportunities.
Yes.
Thank you again.
No problem. Bye-bye. And then, so the two paths would be a code compliant alternative as allowed by the code, or the second alternative would be to have a two-story building that has the rear yard variance as you're proposing, but with no third story. And I appreciate the comments from the neighbor to the north, but I, in regarding a setback from the side property line, I think that I don't see the justification for that. This is a wider lot, but you know, it is a zero lot line situation that's common in the neighborhood, and so I think building to that common property line, and you know, you can work with the project sponsor if this project does move forward, and with the building department to ensure that there's no damage to the building, that the buildings are properly waterproofed, so there wouldn't be any damage between the buildings.
One final question.
If it's just a question, yes.
Could we be assured that whatever decision they have, that they will present that to us?
I can't require them to make presentations. I can only suggest that they continue to dialogue and work with neighbors, because whatever, as he did very well note, there is still a lot of public process that is before them, the neighborhood notifications.
And so we'd like to be involved every step of the way.
Yeah.
And we don't want an adversarial role. We want this to be, as I think he understands, we want this to be compatible with the neighborhood.
And we can't require that they communicate with you, but we encourage them. And, you know, certainly if it did go to the Planning Commission on the DR, that's something that the Planning Commission looks at, the communications that are had, and the Board of Appeals as well. So these are all good.
Thank you for yielding my questions. I appreciate it.
No problem. So with that, again, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variance with conditions that would remove the third story. I'll take under advisement the request to limit the number of bedrooms and bathrooms. But at this point, the condition would be just to remove the third story, or alternatively, seek a code-compliant project and move on to our next item.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2016-016619-VAR, 1570 Plymouth Avenue, side yard variance sought. Project sponsor for this project, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. I am Mark Topicher from Topicher Architecture. I'm the architect on the project. The owners, Randy and Meredith Nonenberg, are also here today. The project is for a side addition to the existing one-story over basement single-family residence in the Westwood Park neighborhood. We are proposing to add a second bathroom on the main floor, which will function as a master bathroom. My clients have children, and they are expanding living space into the basement of the existing house, which is being done under a separate permit. That work is underway and nearing completion, with finishes going in. We feel the exception, or the asking for a variance, is something that is in keeping with the spirit of the neighborhood. We've received the support of the Westwood Neighborhood Park Association, and we had supplied with our application a copy of the letter that was given to us that was a result of the pre-application meeting. There are also several other projects within the same block that have very similar conditions. The building's actually adjacent to the property, are nearby at There's actually a house at next door on the uphill side at 1580 Plymouth Avenue that has a second floor built out over the side garage condition. And again, this is a fairly typical condition within the neighborhood. Here are two others, one at 1550. You can see it's been enclosed, and then one at 1560 that actually has been developed into a porch. And these are all over the existing side yard garages that in some cases may be conforming. Others may have a little bit of a setback. In our particular case, the side garage is actually up against the property line, therefore making it impossible to utilize this space over the garage to develop into additional interior space, and in this case to add a bathroom. Now, we have other options. We could extend to the backyard, but we wanted to maintain the rear open space. Again, we have this is a family that does utilize the backyard and did not want to reduce their rear yard area for more building footprint. On that note, we have been contact with the neighbors regarding this project, again at the pre-application meeting and as most recently as yesterday morning with Mr. Douglas Yep at 1580 Plymouth to address some concerns. However, we have not been made aware of any particular concerns with this particular aspect of the project that requires a variance or for the 311 notification that's also underway for this project. I do have a letter of support from the adjacent downhill neighbor at 1566, I think is the address, Plymouth Avenue, that I would like to present. They are, they reviewed the proposed plans for 1570 Plymouth to build an addition above their existing garage for purposes of a master bathroom and closet area. We have no objection to the project, and this is from Jerry Cheng at 1566 Plymouth Avenue. I'd like to submit that for the record. On that note, I have nothing more to add. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. It was my understanding that that neighbor at 1580 Plymouth had some concerns about a separate permit related to the work on the ground floor. Was that correct? Or
I'm not sure that that was necessarily a concern. The project was broken into two. It was nearly a year ago that we had our pre-application meeting, and of course you know that the time frame in which to get through all the reviews, et cetera, especially in this case with a variance. So we did develop the basement portion of the project under a separate permit. It was all happening within the existing building envelope. We were adding two bedrooms and a bathroom and family room at the lower floor, as well as a new interior stair connecting it, so it really could be used as a family home. Currently, the house is two bedrooms, one bathroom, and with the family, it obviously is strained to the limits to function, and my clients definitely wanted to stay within the neighborhood. They may be able to speak about how long they've lived there and their desire to stay in their home.
Certainly, if they'd like to, and would note that that property, 1580, is opposite of the impacted side of this property.
Correct. It is on the uphill side. It is not on the side where the garage extends out to the side of the house. In fact, the neighbors, the letter that I just submitted is from the adjacent neighbor that would be the most impacted by this project. And they also have a very similar condition on their opposite side of the house, too, where they have the same sort of bump out condition.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Any public comment on item number 11 for 1570 Plymouth Avenue? Can please step forward.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. My name's Douglas Yap. I'm the neighbor at 1580 Plymouth. This is my first time in front of the planning department, so upon reviewing the procedures, I would like to choose to request a continuance.
For what reason?
First, we got the letter notice of public hearing, and then subsequent to that, on October the 16th, we received the planning department packet. Mm-hmm. So we did review it, and we chose to take the planning department's suggestion to do item number one, which was to meet with the sponsor, which we had a nice meeting yesterday. Now, it also mentions on step two to use the community boards. I talked with them immediately. We agreed that we will want to use that service, and we feel that we should use that service in order to not make this adversarial. The impression I got in yesterday's meeting was that they were hesitant to use it, but that is our preference to at least try it, and then if by the end of the continuance period, if that doesn't work out, then I guess we'll have to, in a certain sense, make it adversarial, but we prefer not to.
So what are your concerns with the project?
Okay, can I speak to the original construction, or do I just speak to the variance?
Well, we're having a variance hearing, so this is about the encroachment into the side yard that is opposite where your property is.
Okay, we'll deal with that. Okay, first, for the record, I would like to note, which the sponsor has not noted, that the owners of 1570 are actually occupying 1566 next door. That letter that was given to you did not note that, but that is a very interesting thing that we've mentioned to different groups, and they thought it was very interesting that the building that would be most affected is actually occupied currently by the owner of the subject building. So we're trying to get that situation clarified from a legal viewpoint, so that's one of the reasons why we would like a continuance. Secondly, it wasn't noted that a lot of those pictures of buildings that had the living space above the garage, those were built originally way back when, that way. What we're dealing with is a different situation where you have a small bungalow type house. In this case, it had the little...
So how does this project affect you?
Well, let's put it this way. Well, can I speak to the first thing? Because it really deals with the first part.
What's your issue? Yeah.
Okay. Yesterday, we were forced by circumstances to file two complaints with the Bureau of Building Inspection. The reason why we did that is that we feel that the occupants of 1570 did not disclose at all their intentions to remodel the kitchen extensively, tear out the side of the house facing our house, and also include a patio in the back which faces our common fence. We were never told of those two things at the first organizational meeting roughly a year ago. When we saw them tearing out that side of the building facing us, we thought that they were violating all kinds of dust requirements, things like that. But we felt, you know, we're not going to, you know, make a scene out of it. So we said, well, if they do what they want to do, we'll deal with it at the proper time. So we waited to the very last moment before we filed the complaints with the building department, because we feel that basically there was no disclosure even right now. On the record today, he never mentioned anything about a kitchen, extensive kitchen remodeling. He never mentioned anything about the back patio. That directly affects our side of the property line. So we feel that this whole situation is basically a situation where they've alienated the neighbors, namely me, by non-disclosure, and they basically forced us to file a complaint for non-safety requirements. Now, they have three young children. We feel that they are actually endangering their three children by the way this project is being handled, and we have not gotten any documentation in writing on the qualifications of the architect or the contractor. So we don't even know if he's a licensed contractor. We have no evidence of that.
So you've made the complaint to Department of Building.
Yes, we filed it yesterday because we wanted to wait.
The work that is being done is on a previously issued permit, but you are concerned because you weren't given notification, even though I think the scope of work that was on that permit did not require notification. You're concerned that the neighbors didn't disclose that in previous
meetings. Yes.
And your concern is related to?
Health reasons. We feel that in a certain sense this is elder abuse because we're alleging, in fact, we are trying to get legal advice whether we could charge them with elder abuse through the police department because we feel that our health has been directly affected by the dust.
The proper way of addressing
that's why we need the continuance.
Thank you for that. Through the Department of Building Inspection, they will investigate. They will ensure that the the contractor is licensed, that they're following all proper protocols. I trust the Department of Building Inspection to do that. So thank you for those comments. We'll move on to see if there's any other public comment.
Okay, excuse me. Are we getting a continuance?
We will hear, see if there's any other public comment, and I will make a decision after I see if there's any other public comment.
Okay, can I add one more thing?
You've already said a lot. Thank you.
I mean, in this little section here, where it mentions page 9, the little subsection 5. It mentions that if you do approve of the variance, the only matter that we could bring up in the subsequent appeal, if necessary, would be things that we brought up today, right? See, we're not ready to bring up certain issues because we're still trying to figure them out, like the relationship between 1570 and 1566.
You raised that issue. So was there any other public comment on item number 11 for 1570 Plymouth?
Please approach the mic, sir. You have 3 minutes.
And so you're the project sponsor, correct?
Hello, good morning. I'm actually the owner of the property, and is that sponsor? So, is that the same as sponsor? I don't know.
Yes, I mean, you do have a three-minute rebuttal, and so you can share your time with your architect, and if I have any questions.
Okay, maybe he'll jump up here and say that. I just wanted to come up and introduce myself. My name's Randy Nonnenberg. I own the property at 1570 Plymouth Avenue, along with my wife, who is also here. We moved into it 8.5 years ago when we were just a married couple. We have since had 3 children here in the city. And we had it as a 2-bedroom, 1-bath home right up before we started this project. The reason for starting this project was because we had all 3 children in 1 bedroom. We're interested in adding bedrooms and this additional bathroom for additional single family living space, which we believe is the intent of the neighborhood, these single family homes. And we have a terrific relationship with all of our neighbors, save one. The impact of the variance is on the side opposite from where the objection is coming from. We don't believe there is really any impact, whether it is 48 inches off the property line or to the property line of that opposite neighbor. It has been a project that has been ongoing for the last 10 months or whatever it has been. We are just as interested in everybody as having it come to its conclusion so that we've been displaced into the next door neighbor's house, which was available on short-term rental. So we found that as a lovely way for our children to be still close to their schools and not have to move out of the city or into a hotel or something crazy. We are very thankful that we have a wonderful relationship with that neighbor, and they allowed us to be there, which is pretty much the extent of that, which we feel thankful for. Maybe Mark has anything else to say?
Just to the point of disclosure, I mean, we did show the entire project in its entirety at the pre-application meeting, which showed expansion of living space, condition space to the basement level. The decision to split that package into 2 permits was made afterwards when we sort of realized the timeline for getting everything done, working with contractor schedules and availabilities. This past week was the first that I heard from the neighbor at 1580, Mr. Yip. We did meet yesterday morning. That was the earliest point that we could meet. We did go through and I tried to identify any issues that he had with the project specifically regarding the variance or the proposed addition. He was not able to identify any, and as he stated today, he's still figuring things out. That's all well and good, but we've had this project out there for a year. He did not voice any issues at the pre-application meeting, was actually seemingly supportive of it, although he did not say that. that verbatim. And to that end, I think the variance should be granted. We do have the support of the Neighborhood Association. We had the president as well as the architectural representative at the original pre-application meeting. They were very supportive of the project, and for the Nonnenbergs to stay in the neighborhood, they really welcomed the fact that they could still be considered a family neighborhood in San Francisco in 2016 and 17. Thank you.
Thank you. And so the letter of support was submitted by the owner of that adjacent property.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Thank you. And when did construction start? You said it was about 10 months ago or so?
I believe January.
I was going to say about the beginning of the year. I think the permit application number on that is...
if you can remember the number, I would be very impressed.
Sorry. I cannot.
There's some pattern.
But I do have record of it.
Okay. So work did start. Have you heard any communication from the adjacent neighbor prior to that spoke today at 1580 Plymouth prior to...
No, I have not. I can't speak for the contractor and Randy and Meredith, his wife. I know there's been some comments, I mean, during the general construction process, which can be messy and noisy. And the contractor who I worked with before has been very accommodating, has been tried to be accommodating to the point of making sure that his workers are not parking near the front of Mr. Yep's house or driveway, keeping things clear. Although, deliveries, et cetera, sometimes do kind of hold up traffic on that particular stretch of Plymouth Avenue. But I think all in all, the contractor has been trying to be very accommodating of all the neighbors' needs, as well as Mr. Yep's.
And you're using a licensed contractor?
Yes.
And
yes.
To your knowledge, they're complying with all of the requirements of building department and their construction?
To my knowledge, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So with that, we'll close the public hearing. Appreciate the comments from the neighbor requesting continuance. However, I don't see a sufficient reason to continue the item. This has been properly noticed. There is the Section 311 neighborhood notification that is out for notice. That is part of our standard process. I am supportive of the variance application. Certainly, they could pursue a project in a code-compliant manner that would be more impactful, certainly to the adjacent neighbor at 1580 by either going into the rear yard or doing some vertical addition, although the height limits here are quite strict at about 28 feet. So I think that this is a very sensitive addition that does provide for reasonable habitable space. This is a kind of a small building, a very modest addition to keep families in the city, and very supportive of the application, find that the five findings have been met, grant the variance, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Moving to item number 12, case number 2017-004517 VAR, 2030 Scott Street, rear yard variance sought. Ma'am, you have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Karen Payson, Architecture and Design. I am the architect for the owner and of this project. There's an existing, I'm showing you the photographs first. There's an existing, this building, it's an old Victorian, and in 1977, the previous owner, or a previous owner, built this sort of sunroom addition, which extended at that time the kitchen by a considerable amount, and it's still the kitchen. And it's quite hot in there during the summer. It was built in the 77, 78. It's real hot in the summer and spring and fall. It's real cold in the winter. And I guess about a year ago, the owner, who we had done some work for about 10 years ago, she called me and she said, I'd really like to get rid of this glass building and replace it with something that has walls, a roof, and windows. And so on your right, you can see the existing condition, and on your left, you see the proposed condition. So we were proposing to replace this glass structure with a regular wood frame structure that would have windows and a door out to the back. Here's a demo on the bottom showing that sloped roof proposed, showing the solid structure with a solid roof, and then we would make a roof deck out of the top. The difference in height if you count the slope from the midpoint, which is how we usually do the height on a slope building, to the new roof is 1 1/2 inch is the net difference between the existing building and the proposed. As you can see from this, we are maintaining the existing rear yard, which is 15 feet, and so we're requesting the variance to allow us to do the 15 foot per section 134C, which would otherwise require us to have a 25% rear yard setback. There is an exception in the code, which is subsection 2C, which allows 15 feet if you're aligned. What we're really just saying here is we're keeping the same footprint. We're trying to build a new structure which is environmentally more sound and structurally improved. We're not expanding the envelope of the house in any way. And if you need to see more materials, I have more. And I do have a letter of an email from a neighbor who wrote to Sharon Young, who's the planner for this. Hi, Sharon. We're in favor of the variance, given the need to make the property more functional. And for safety to provide rear egress, we don't believe the change materially affects the setback requirement. Thanks, Shaban and Julia Shakuri at 2615 California Street. So I'd like to enter that into the record. We did get one call from another neighbor whose house faces Sacramento Street, and so she's part of the rear yard open space, and she asked us to explain the project better, and we did. And she met with the owner, and what she really wanted was to piggyback a really tiny project that she has onto the project sponsor's project, because she can't get a contractor to show up to do some little thing at her house. And so Leila said, sure, we'll work it out, no problem. So there hasn't been any real complaint, as far as I know. Thank you.
Thank you. So keeping hot things hot and cool things cool is only good for a thermos, not for a house, I guess. Was there any public comment on this item for item number 12, 2030 Scott Street? Seeing no public comment, a closed public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, noting shallower than normal lot depth, quite substantial front setback at about 17 feet, replacing an existing condition, which we've heard is not kind of the best living quality for the occupants, with something that is quite sensitive to that of the neighbors, considering especially how the adjacent properties are developed, extending further than the subject property. And move on to our next and, I believe, final.
Our last item in our calendar, case number item number 13, case number 2017-007158 VAR, 117 College Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Nick Poulter of Poulter Donzelli Design. I am the architect and project sponsor for this project. The two-story single-family residence at 117 College Avenue was built circa 1914, and at that time, the lot was a rather standard configuration of 25 feet in width by approximately 100 feet in length. As a result of the Bernal cut to create San Jose Avenue, circa 1922, a significant portion of the rear lot was lost, roughly 28 feet in length. This resulted in a lot configuration which was then out of compliance with the current planning code rear setback requirements, also making any future expansion of the home nearly impossible. The adjacent two-story single-family residence to the west at 115 College Avenue was similarly truncated by the Bernal cut, and in 1980 received a variance allowing expansion, significant expansion to the rear. This would seem to establish some sort of precedence for these type of lots. The current property owners, Leah and Patrick McLaughlin, who are both here today, have two young children, ages 6 and 8, both of whom attend their neighborhood school. They have lived in this house for roughly 6.5 years. The proposed project under consideration today is a very minor 193-square-foot expansion to the rear of this modest 1,466-square-foot home, and one which will allow them to continue to raise their family in this location. This expansion includes creation of a third bedroom located on the ground floor, a minor expansion of the master bedroom, and creation of a breakfast nook on the second floor, as well as creation of a small 40-square-foot deck at the rear on the second floor with reconfigured stairs down to the rear yard. As all of the proposed changes occur in the rear of the property and do not create any additional height to the building, they have very little, if any, impact on the adjacent properties. There are only two such adjacent properties, one to the left, one to the right. There is nothing directly to the rear. As such, it is reasonable to allow an exception to the standard rear yard setback requirements as specified in the variance application. Thank you for your careful consideration of this matter, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. So part of the variance is the infill of the light well, and just to confirm, that is not abutting any windows on that adjacent property. Is that correct?
That is correct. They have spoken with the neighbor to that side, and her only concern was plumbing noise issues, because that expansion is going to be an expansion of the existing bathroom. So I don't think there'll be any, should be no issues
you're
addressing that.
Flush or something like that.
Right, yeah.
So part of that, and also part of it is to extend out a few feet for that bedroom at the second floor. And I guess why can't that be done in the existing envelope so that the second story bedroom, it's labeled as bedroom number 3, and I mean it's a very minor 2-foot extension of the building, but why couldn't that be configured?
It clearly could is a functional bedroom or could be a functional bedroom as without that 2-foot expansion, but it's hard to really call it much of a master bedroom. It's just, it's a pretty modest bedroom. So the idea was to, if we're gonna do the variance, ask for that. It's a, as you said, it's a very minimal 2 feet. It has a flat roof, so it's gonna be a very minimal impact.
It seems like it's mostly to accommodate adequate closet space.
And adequate closet space, and it also allows for a queen size bed to be in there, and then get those two additional closets. Without that, it's basically you don't really have enough room for the closets and some nightstands on either side. So that's kind of my definition of a master bedroom is, you know, not just a basic bedroom, but just somewhat larger than that.
So. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, the last item, number 13. Lucky 13 for 117 College Avenue.
Let's hope so. Yeah. Thank you.
And any public comment on this item? Seeing none, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the irregular lot shape created by kind of roadworks improvements in the city many years ago. Kind of consistent with the development pattern, and I think that the architect did successfully explain the need for the kind of additional size on that master bedroom. We have now general public comment for items that are not on the agenda today. Is there anyone who has general public comment for an item that's not on the agenda today? You're more than welcome to step forward, sir.
My name's Douglas Yep. Is this the proper place to ask for a copy of a document?
Oh, so you can just sign the sign-in sheet.
I meant the one that was submitted on my test. There was a letter.
You can just contact the staff planner, and they can send you a copy of the document.
Oh, so I go through the staff planner that was on the form there.
We don't have a copy machine here to give you a copy, but but certainly you can request the document, and staff can arrange that. They can make the entire file available for you to review.
Right. And then can I ask you one technical question?
Sure.
You know, when you were talking with me, you mentioned that basically what your concern was just the variance, and that all the other, whatever you want to call it, during the current construction, that's under the purview, so to speak, of the building inspection.
So compliance with the approved plans is generally under the purview of Department of Building Inspection, and the issues that you raised about dust and the
right. So they handle that part, and then today's hearing was just on the technical.
Right. So because what they're seeking now is just that expansion on the side opposite of your house,
right,
towards the other adjacent property, and so that's the limit of what they're seeking and what under this. What you have concerns about is on a permit that's already been issued.
Right.
So then the concerns that you have about dust are best addressed with Department of Building Inspection.
Right. And then one other thing is that, as I understand the appeal process, in a certain sense, just by me filing the actual appeal, I don't do that until I get your letter.
That's correct. So you can't file an appeal on the variance until you receive the variance decision. Uh-huh. And there's 10 days to file that appeal. You file it with the Board of Appeals. The appeal fee is about $600, maybe a bit more, for appeals of variances.
Right. So then basically, as it stands now, based on your decision today, everybody waits until
the decision is issued.
And then if I choose at that point to do the appeal, then it gets appealed. How long is the appeal hearing? Is that 2 months, 30 days, or whatever?
Yeah, right now they're scheduling for new appeals in January, early January, and so that's when the calendar would be set. But it depends on when an appeal is filed. They put it on the next available calendar.
Yeah, because I read that on the little handout just today that there's not really a delay, but there's a time period between your decision and the letter coming out.
Yes, so the appealable action is the letter, and so if you sign up to receive the letter, then you would be able to appeal that to the Board of Appeals.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Sure. And that is all. Seeing no other general public comments, we will close this hearing. We will readjourn on Wednesday, December 6, 2017. Thank you.